It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegebright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show,
if a repo person gets out of the truck with a gun or a baseball bat and threatens you, they are breaching the peace. If a repo person comes and breaks open your garage door in order to get to the vehicle, they are breaching the peace. I think if a repossession person comes with a police officer present during the repossession and you're there and you see that the police officer is there, that the peace has been breached. But at its very minimum, if you're present during a repossession, you can simply say, I object.
Private attorney Dale Pittman explains the rights consumers have under the Uniform Commercial Code before, during, and after a repossession, and what defenses they can raise if later sued. And you'll find out about the much simpler rules and process if you have to sue somebody in the small claims court during this week's question and answer period. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 73, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. In December, the Virginia State Corporation Commission, or SCC, issued new regulations after a hearing regarding the conduct of other business conducted by payday lending offices. The SCC ruled in favor of the consumer on car title loan issues. Specifically, the payday lender or its affiliate making a car title loan must record its security interest with the Department of Motor Vehicles, and they cannot make a car title loan to a borrower who already has a lien on his or her car title. While this is a small victory for consumers, it does help because it will probably cut down on the number of people eligible for car title loans. In other news, in December, the Virginia Main Street Alliance issued an open letter to Virginia Senators Warner and Webb thanking them for their support of health care reform and of the needs of the small business community. The Main Street Alliance is a statewide network of small businesses that support health care reform and typically employ between 1 and 200 employees. The letter notes that while small businesses make up 73% of Virginia's businesses, only 44% of them offer health coverage benefits, and that businesses with 1 to 9 workers paid premiums 18% higher than those paid by businesses with 1,000 or more workers. The National Center for Health Statistics reports that average premiums are currently $11,300 for family coverage at small businesses with fewer than 50 employees. Many small businesses can't afford coverage at all and are left to the mercy of the individual insurance market, where insurance companies can drop coverage when folks get sick, refuse to provide health insurance at all, and deny paying for coverage because of pre-existing conditions. The letter goes on to note that the current system hurts Virginia's small businesses, who do not have the power to negotiate that large corporations do, which causes their health care costs to be higher. More than 93,000 small businesses in Virginia could be helped by a small business credit tax proposal that makes premiums more affordable. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. You are listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's legal term of the week is uninsured motorist. An uninsured motorist is a motor vehicle driver or owner who does not have an auto insurance policy with the state minimum liability limits. Every person registering an uninsured motor vehicle has to pay an uninsured motorist fee of $500 at the time of registration. Payment of this fee allows a motor vehicle owner to operate an uninsured motor vehicle. Payment of this fee does not provide the motorist with any insurance coverage. If involved in an accident, the uninsured motorist remains personally liable. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and uninsured motorist is this week's legal term of the week.
If you're just joining us, this is the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. on WRIR 97.3 Richmond Independent Radio. It's now time for our weekly question and answer session, and we're here in the studio with a questioner. Tell us your first name and where you're from.
My name is Nicole, and I'm from Richmond, Virginia.
What question do you have for us this week?
I'm just curious as to how to go about obtaining money that's over a year old. My husband and I purchased a home, and we were supposed to receive, I guess it would be considered rent money from the person who was living there, and we have not received it yet.
And was this agreement to get rent money, was it oral? Was it in writing?
It was in writing.
Well, that's good. The fact that it's in writing means that you are well within what's called the statute of limitations. The statute of limitations, that is the period within which you can bring a lawsuit, is 5 years on a writing. But you're also well within the statute of limitations for an oral agreement, because that limitations period is 3 years, and your claim is barely more than a year old. The best way to sue someone for money is to go to the Small Claims Division of the General District Court for the city or county where the person either lives or where the claim arose. You can do this on your own, by yourself, without an attorney, with a small filing fee. And if you can't afford the filing fee, you can ask the clerk for what's called Form CC1414, and the judge can let you file the case for free. The reason I advise people to file in the small claims court, there are three reasons. The first is that there are no attorneys at all allowed in the small claims court. So you won't have an attorney, but the other side won't have one either. The second is that you get a much quicker trial. In the regular division of the General District Court, on the first court date, if it is a contested case, the case is not heard then and there, but is scheduled for a later trial, which often can be 3 or 4 months later. In the Small Claims Division, the trial is heard on the first court date, which is usually about 3 weeks after you file. The third reason for a small claims court is that the rules of evidence are very much relaxed. The judge is not concerned about things like hearsay or business records or things of that nature. The judge will simply let you present your case the best way you know how. Now, there is a limitation on the small claims court. You can sue for only up to $5,000. If your claim is for more than that, you can sue for up to $15,000 in the regular division of the General District Court. But you do have all of those disadvantages of lawyers being involved and of having a much later trial date and having to deal with the rules of evidence. So that's why I recommend the small claims court. Is that helpful?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, that's this week's question and answer.
Turn me around, no, turn me around, ain't gonna let injustice
Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at the law offices of Dale Pittman in Petersburg, Virginia. Dale is a former legal aid attorney. He now has a practice devoted exclusively to consumer protection. Welcome to the show, Dale.
Thanks, Marty. Great to be back.
And we're here talking about repossessions and deficiency judgments. When people buy things on credit, like cars or furniture, usually they agree to pay for that over time. And if they miss their payments, then the creditor is allowed to repossess or take back the property. Let's start with the basic question. When may a creditor repossess something that you're buying on credit?
Marty, in Virginia, a creditor may not repossess until you're more than 10 days late with a payment. And so after 10 days, a creditor can repossess.
Now, we always hear the term, or we see it on the contract, the creditor can accelerate a contract or a loan if you miss a payment by more than 10 days. What does acceleration mean?
Acceleration, Marty, means that at the point that you're past 10 days late, a creditor can consider the whole amount remaining due on the obligation due and owing at that time. That is, they can accelerate and say that you owe the entire remainder now because you went into default by becoming more than 10 days late.
Now, if you're in that situation, what if you just catch up the missed payments? Is that going to be enough?
That is not enough unless the creditor agrees or the lender agrees that you may do that. That is what I call reinstating a loan, getting it back on track. But when a creditor exercises the right to accelerate, they have no obligation at that point to agree to accept your missed payments.
So if you do make those missed payments, I guess you would advise folks to get a reinstatement agreement, what, in writing? Otherwise, there's no guarantee that they'll be able to hold on to the property?
Absolutely. If you are making those payments now to try to catch the loan back up because you want your car back, you should have a written agreement that the payments will allow you to get your car back. If you don't, you're going to have problems.
Now, we always hear a lot about repossession. Does a creditor have to notify you or give you some kind of advance notice that they're going to come and repossess your property?
Absolutely not, and typically they will not do so. As you think of repossessors or repo men coming in the middle of the night, that's often what happens, and you will have no notice.
Well, how is the repossession supposed to take place, and do people have any recourse there, any way to stop it from happening?
Yes, people do. A repossession in Virginia is supposed to take place without a breach of the peace. The reason for that is that in Virginia, the law allows a lender to do what is called a self-help repossession. They can take your vehicle without first going to court. But in order to have that privilege over lenders in states that have to first go to court, they cannot do this if there is a breach of the peace involved. Now, I can go ahead and tell you what a breach of the peace might involve. Obviously, if a repo person gets out of the truck with a gun or a baseball bat and threatens you, they are breaching the peace. If a repo person comes and breaks open your garage door in order to get to the vehicle, they are breaching the peace. I think if a repossession person comes with a police officer present during the repossession and you're there and you see that the police officer is there, that the peace has been breached. But at its very minimum, if you're present during a repossession, you can simply say, "I object." And when you say, "Mr. Repo Man or Madam Repo Woman, I object to this repossession," at that point, they have to stop because to go further would amount to a breach of the peace. And the law is very, very clear on that in Virginia.
Well, now, what remedy would a consumer have if the consumer said, I object, did so in the manner that you described, and the repo man or lady just went ahead and did it anyway and took it over their objection. Is there any legal recourse there at all?
Yes, you have rights under two laws. If that's what happens, you have rights under the Uniform Commercial Code, which governs the conduct of a secured party, that would be your lender, in taking the car back from you. And you also have a right under those circumstances under a federal law called the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act against the repo company itself, because they have gone beyond what the law in Virginia allows them to do. They have breached the peace, and when they breach the peace, they have no right to take your car without first going to court and getting an order saying that they can take your car.
And so what type of remedies would a consumer have against a repo company for breaching the law, and in particular violating the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act?
Well, if they violated the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, you would have a right to sue them, and importantly, the law would say that your attorney's fees in bringing the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act lawsuit are to be paid by the repo company that broke the law. You have a right to statutory damages of essentially $1,000, and you have a right to your actual damages, which could be, for example, the distress that you suffer by whatever conduct it is that breaches the peace during the repossession.
And what about things like, let's say the car was illegally repossessed and you lost your job, would you be able to get damages of that nature?
While there's no guarantee, and every case depends on its unique facts, if a car is repossessed when the person was current on the account, for example, and they lost their job because they didn't have transportation, I think that would be a clear a case for an award of damages for the lost job. I've had cases where there was an elderly person in the household who had to be taken to dialysis, and there was damages for not being able to use a car in order to do that, moving children back and forth to school. If the repossession was not proper and this repo truck has a loud diesel engine and this is happening in a quiet neighborhood at 3 o'clock in the morning and your neighbors have come out to the street to see what's happening, you're standing there attempting to explain that you're not late in your payments or that you need to get the baby's car seat out of the back seat, this kind of embarrassment and humiliation is clearly compensable under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act.
Well, now that's a good segue to a question I wanted to ask. What happens to other property that is, let's say, in a vehicle, if it's taken along with the vehicle during the repossession? What do you do to get it back?
You're entitled to get that property back. If they won't allow you to get it then and there, you should contact the repo company afterwards and ask them to return your property. You may have to go pick it up. You may have to sign something for it, but you're entirely completely entitled to a return of your property under the law.
And what if they don't do it? What if they don't make it available to you? What's your remedy at that point?
Again, you can sue. If they don't give your property back and we're suing under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, that can be a component of your damages in the lawsuit that we discussed a moment ago. You can also simply go to a Virginia General District Court where you can sue for up to $15,000, and you can sue without an attorney if that's the way you want to do it. I have a bias, and I think it's best to always have a lawyer, but you can file that suit in Virginia General District Court. Some courts have a small claims division where you can go by yourself without a lawyer and sue for up to $5,000.
Now, in the context of a repossession, Dale, are there any unique provisions that apply to service members?
Absolutely, and I think this is not well known by the public, by service people, and certainly by the repo industry. Under the Service Persons Civil Relief Act, formerly known as the Soldiers and Sailors Civil Relief Act, when a service person enters the service with a car that on which they're making payments on a credit agreement, a creditor has to go to court. They cannot undertake a self-help repossession. And I think that self-help repossessions happen in this context all the time. So anyone who is in service has a vehicle they had when they went into service, and that vehicle is repossessed in Virginia with, or anywhere else for that matter, without a court order, that service person's rights have been violated, and I think all of the remedies that we talked about earlier apply at that point.
Now, what happens after the repossession? They've taken the property. Again, let's assume it's a motor vehicle. What does the creditor do with it? What obligations do they have? What duties do they have to the consumer?
Well, they have a duty to keep your car in safe care, and they have to notify you of their intention to sell the vehicle and to tell you when and how they're going to sell the vehicle. And if they sell the vehicle on a date earlier than they've notified you, or sell it in a means other than the way they've told you they were going to sell it, you have a claim against them for doing that.
Now, oftentimes people will get behind on a piece of property that they're buying on credit. Again, let's assume it's a motor vehicle, and they'll go ahead and they'll simply return it voluntarily, or just allow it to be picked up voluntarily. But oftentimes they just drive it back to, let's say, the dealership and leave it there, and they consider that everything's even. Is that the case?
Absolutely not. It's not the case. Lots of people think that is the case, and people learn later because a voluntary repossession has been reported on their credit report. It may lower a credit score, and when that happens, the creditor has done nothing illegal. And if the voluntarily repossessed vehicle has been sold and doesn't bring the full amount of the indebtedness at that point, the creditor is still entitled to recover the difference from you in a lawsuit attempting to collect what's called a deficiency.
And when the vehicle is sold, how often is there a deficiency? Is this happening half the time, most of the time, almost all the time?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm 61 years old. I've practiced law for probably 35 years, and I'm not able to remember a case where there was not a deficiency. Okay, so I think it happens every time, just about.
Well, thank you very much. We have been talking with consumer law attorney Dale Pittman in his office in Petersburg about repossessions and deficiency judgments. Thank you so much, Dale, for being on the show.
Happy to be here, Marty. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's top three tips are about a bill of particulars. The first tip is that bill of particulars is a written statement giving details of a lawsuit filed in a general district court. It's a more complete explanation of why the person filing the lawsuit, called the plaintiff, should get the money or property being requested. The second tip is that if the judge orders a plaintiff to file a bill of particulars, the plaintiff will have a later trial date and time, and also will have a date by which to file the bill of particulars. The third tip is that if the plaintiff doesn't file by this date, the lawsuit may be dismissed. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King. And for this week, that's our top three tips about a bill of particulars.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid radio show ever broadcast is now available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral 4, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. January 2010 marks the beginning of the third year of the 10-year plan to prevent and end homelessness in the Richmond region. Join us next week when Richmond City Council member Marty Jewell talks about the state of homelessness assistance in the Richmond area and whether current efforts are solving the problem or just making it less visible. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.
My Lord.